Next is Mountain Edition.
Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 75 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Naya Andweza.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
It's a basic human right to have clean water. We're in the United States of America. We're in eastern Kentucky.
State regulators have now opened up investigations into a dozen water utilities in the state.
Police have made an arrest in a deadly Pike County stabbing.
Lawmakers in Frankfort have passed a controversial bill regarding public education.
Felons in Kentucky are rallying at the Capitol today for voting rights.
Police have made an arrest in a deadly Pike County stabbing.
A bill in the General Assembly's future guidance in contested state legislative has cleared the Kentucky House.
Lawmakers in Frankfort have passed a controversial bill regarding public education.
In sports, girls' state tournament action began today in Lexington.
Bud Lucas Stock Report.
Partly cloudy with a low around 53. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast.
State regulators have now opened up investigations into a dozen water utilities in the state. The investigations are examining 10 water districts, one water association, and a division of one investor-owned utility, all of which are losing more than a third of the water they produce through aging and crumbling infrastructure. One district being investigated in the Martin County Water District, where officials say their woes are budget-related. However, Barbie Ann Maynard with the Martin County Water Warriors says things are far worse than that.
Our county's divided. The officials are saying there's nothing wrong, but we keep getting more and more and more proof and facts to where we just can't believe what they're saying, that it's okay. If you turn on your tap and it's white and it smells like chlorine, you know, that's not good. If it's brown, if it's blue, I've seen it all.
The investigation requires the utilities to submit information on how they record water loss and whether they have made plans to reduce the amount of water they lose.
A Round County teen who went missing last month has been found safe. The Bath County Sheriff's Office says 16-year-old Amber Lewis was found about a week ago. Little information is being released at this time due to Lewis being a juvenile. She went missing from her father's residence on February 22nd. Her brother told authorities at the time he saw Lewis leave the residence in an unknown vehicle.
One person is dead and another is in the hospital after a deadly crash on I-64 in Bath County. According to LEX-18, a semi-truck going eastbound struck a westbound pickup truck at mile marker 120. The crash happened in the westbound lane, and authorities say fuel has spilled. The road is currently shut down west of exit 121, and traffic is being detoured through the Owingsville exit onto KY-36. Traffic is expected to be detoured during afternoon commuting hours.
One man has died following a shooting in a Lexington bar. WKYT reports 68-year-old James Terry died from a gunshot wound Tuesday morning. Police say the shooting started as an altercation between Terry and 69-year-old Larry Walters at Uncle Seven's Bar and Grill in Lexington. Bar owner Larry Emmerich says although what happened is tragic, he won't let the incident affect business at the bar.
You can have anybody at any time in life, anywhere, come and try to steal your life from you. And this is something that he won't do from us. We're going to open tonight, and we're going to treat it like it's any other day because the glass is half full.
Another victim was shot and sent to the hospital in critical condition. Walters was arrested that night at his home. He now faces charges of murder, first-degree assault, 4 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, and criminal mischief. Walter's bond is set for $75,000.
Police have made an arrest in a deadly Pike County stabbing. 41-year-old Michael Yates was arrested Tuesday night and charged with murder. The Pike County coroner tells WYMT he was called to the scene of a stabbing in the Regina community around 2:40 p.m. Tuesday. Kentucky State Police say a man was stabbed to death. Yates is being held in the Pike County Detention Center. Police have not yet released the name of the victim. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
A Kentucky distillery owner is among those named in a nationwide college admissions scandal. KNN's Susan Duvall has the story.
Marcy Politella is the CEO of a liquor distribution company which owns Preservation Distillery in Bardstown. She was indicted on a charge of conspiracy to commit mail fraud. She's accused of conspiring to bribe a University of Southern California administrator to designate her son as a football recruit. She would agree to donate a substantial sum of money without her son's knowledge in order to get him admitted into USC. Documents state an administrator presented her son to an athletic subcommittee falsely describing him as a long snapper. Preservation Distillery Bardstown says they had no comment on the allegations. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Kentucky lawmakers could approve a bill that would make one of the country's worst-funded public pension systems worse. WKYT reports House Bill 358 would let quasi-governmental entities leave the struggling pension system without paying what they owe. An analysis by the retirement system said it could cost the troubled system as much as $1 billion. Republican Senator Chris McDaniel says agencies can't afford to make increased pension contributions for their employees. Department of Public Health Commissioner Jeffrey Howard said 63 public health departments would have to close over the next 2 years without changes. Some retirees are worried the changes would put their financial future in danger by weakening the system.
Felons in Kentucky are rallying at the Capitol today for voting rights. A recent report from the League of Women Voters in Kentucky shows more than 300,000 Kentuckians can't vote due to prior felony convictions. Former Governor Steve Beshear used an executive order to grant felons voting rights in 2015, but that order was reversed after Governor Matt Bevin's appointment into office. 68-year-old Deborah Grainer is a voting rights advocate. She says felons not having an opportunity to vote is only hurting the community of the Commonwealth.
You've made a mistake somewhere in your life. You've turned your life around. You paid your dues. And the one big thing that you have, the one big opportunity you have to interact and do something for your community and the Commonwealth and the nation is vote. Here in Kentucky, it's taken away forever.
Activists are hoping to have their voices heard today in Frankfort by Governor Bevin. Attempts to have Kentucky felons' voting rights restored have been ongoing since 2007.
A bill that could shift lawsuits against state agencies and out of Franklin County is losing steam late in the 2019 legislative session. Senate Bill 2, backed by Senator Robert Stivers, would permit state agencies to request cases to be heard by randomly selected judges. However, Stiver says concerns about pulling judges from faraway counties is helping to sink the idea. Stivers is open about his frustrations with Franklin County Judge Philip Shepard in particular.
Judges judge, they don't practice. And it has become apparent that this judge has tended to practice the cases instead of judging the cases.
The senator says the House members are uncertain whether the bill could garner enough votes to pass in the chamber, but work is still being done.
A bill has passed through the House banning tobacco in Kentucky public schools with an 85-11 vote. House Bill 11 bans the use of tobacco and e-cigarettes on public school property in K-12 schools. Representative Lynn Belcher says some schools are already have this rule.
If districts can already implement this policy, then it's obvious that a mandate to do so is not necessary.
Supporters say the bill could help students stay away from drugs in the future. The bill is now heading to the Senate.
Kentucky is now the 16th state to pass a constitutional carry law. Opponents of the bill fear Senate Bill 150 will increase gun violence. Governor Matt Bevin signed the bill into law Monday, making it legal for gun owners to carry a concealed weapon without a permit.
A constitutional right that we have been given and that has existed for 200 and some odd years, and the responsible people can handle it just fine.
The bill goes into effect in July.
Lawmakers in Frankfurt have passed one of several controversial bills regarding public education. Senate Bill 250 would limit school-based decision-making councils and would give superintendents greater leeway to choose principal candidates. Opponents of the bill, like Representative Sherilyn Stevens, say the measure takes control away from the schools and parents. Supporters of the bill say it would allow the district to improve faster. The bill now heads to the governor's desk.
Kentucky teachers continue to protest today as lawmakers in Frankfurt get down to business passing bills in the homestretch of the 2019 session. WUKY's Josh James has more.
By now, it's a familiar dynamic. Teachers packing the Capitol to protest bills they worry could affect pensions and public school funding, and the state's Republican governor taking to social media with protests of his own. Governor Matt Bevin accused the Jefferson County Teachers Association of reloading sick days into teachers' accounts so they can continue to demonstrate, an allegation JCTA President Brent McKim called a, quote, bizarre assertion. Emily Blanton, an English teacher from the district, held a sign at Tuesday's protest reading, quote, "Hey Bevin, where do I get my sick days reloaded?" Blanton said she showed up to stop House Bill 205, which would allot $25 million in tax breaks for private school scholarship donors.
If we've got $25 million to just give to other schools, I'm not sure why I'm pretty much funding my own classroom.
The tax credit language appears to have stalled, but protesters say 2018's last-minute pension changes are reason enough to keep the pressure on until lawmakers gavel out. In Frankfurt, I'm Josh James reporting.
A bill that would give the General Assembly future guidance in contested state legislative, statewide, and congressional elections has cleared the Kentucky House. House Bill 522, sponsored by House Speaker David Osborne and House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Atkins, would require an automatic vote recount when a candidate for the General Assembly, Congress, or statewide constitutional office, including the office of governor, loses by 0.5% or less of the vote. The recount would be held no later than the second Tuesday following the election if the State Board of Elections determines, based on the certified vote, that a recount is needed. The cost of the recount would be paid by the state from the general fund surplus account or state's budget reserve trust fund, with any additional recount paid for by the petitioner. HB 522 passed the House by a vote of 94-0 Tuesday. It now goes to the Senate for consideration.
A bill that would slash the salary for Kentucky's chief technology official by about $175,000, cleared another hurdle Tuesday as the Republican-led legislature moved closer to rolling back a six-figure pay raise, awarded by GOP Governor Matt Bevin. The measure advanced by the Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee takes aim at Charles Grindel's salary as the state's chief information officer. The Courier-Journal revealed in stories last year that Bevin raised Grindel's salary from $160,000 a year to $375,000. Lawmakers have responded with the bill that would prohibit the salary for Kentucky's technology chief from exceeding the pay received by the highest-paid counterpart in bordering states. The bill's supporters have said the highest salary in a neighboring state is just over $200,000. The measure quickly cleared the Senate panel with little discussion. Afterward, Republican Senator Chris McDaniel, the committee chairman, said lawmakers have frequently looked at pay scales in surrounding states when determining public salaries in Kentucky.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for tonight. Partly cloudy with a low around 53. Thursday, a slight chance of showers before 7 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Thursday night, rain likely with a low around 48. Friday, a 30% chance of rain. Partly sunny with a high near 56. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 44. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 28. And taking a look at temperatures for the listening areas, Lexington is 70 degrees, 72 in Mount Sterling, 73 in Inez, 72 in Grayson, 70 in Maysville and Ashland, 71 in Flemingsburg, and currently 74 degrees on the campus of Morehead State Public Radio.
The Rowan County softball team is preparing to open the 2019 season. WMKY's Leanne Akers has the story.
The Vikings have been back together as a team since January, outside running, throwing, and conditioning. In the last 2 weeks, they've been back on the field to work on fundamentals. With 3 district titles in 5 years, they know what kind of goals they want to set. Head coach Larry Sloan says the weather has driven most teams inside this season, but not the Vikings.
They won't let you throw the hard ball indoors, not here where you can tear everything up, so you don't develop your arm. So we usually go outside, even in the snow, 35-degree weather. We'll throw and we'll run for 45 minutes and go home. Because going inside, I can get more done outside.
Sloan says his seniors, Macy Jones, Aaron Wilburn, Emily Hammond, Haley Howard, and Elena Ward, anchor the team.
Pitching staff is 2 seniors. Both of them are pitchers that have been on the team for 4 or 5 years. The infield is real solid defensively. Got shortstop back, second baseman back, first baseman back. Got to replace the third baseman. Then I got to replace center and left and right field. So we've got a nucleus of a really good team coming back.
3 juniors, 2 sophomores, 3 freshmen, and an 8th grader round out the team. Sloan says it's important to continually build the program.
If you can keep 2 to 3 kids out of each class, you can normally have a pretty good squad being competitive year after year.
Sloan says the team has a variety of skills.
Well, defensively should be our strong suit. Hitting the ball always is game to game, but over the whole season we should be able to score a lot of runs, hopefully. And if the pitching staff can do what they did last year, we should have a very successful season.
But it isn't going to be an easy season. The 16th region is notoriously a tough one to compete in.
You're going to see Raceland, Ashland, and Russell, and us should be the top 4. Yeah, really solid. No outstanding pitchers, but solid pitchers. People who can win, throw strikes, and make you hit the ball to beat them. Very competitive.
The Vikings open their season on the road Monday with a 6 p.m. matchup with Montgomery County. Sloan says they beat the Lady Indians 5-0 in the opening game last year.
I expect it to be another, you know, close ball game, tough. And it depends on who's ahead of, if they're farther along in the year with their conditioning, seasoning, and playing. I got a veteran group coming back. We should be very solid. We are behind because of the weather, but it should be a really close, tough ball game.
The Vikings have 6 games in as many days to open regular season play. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers.
It's 4:48 and 75 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Naya Andweza, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we are coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We are so glad that you've joined us on this sunny Wednesday afternoon. Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
State tournament kicks off again today in Lexington for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. The KHSAA Girls Sweet 16 basketball tournament began today. Scott County took down Knott County Central in the tourney opener, 87-61. Owensboro Catholic beat Bethlehem 53-47. George Rogers Clark will face off with Mercy at 6:30 p.m. tonight, and Ryle faces Murray in the nightcap at 8 p.m. First-round action continues tomorrow with Pikeville and Barron County at noon. Representing the 16th region, Boyd County will meet Mail at 1:30. Collins and Southwestern face off at 6:30, and North Laurel meets Henderson County at 8 p.m. Elite Eight action takes place throughout the day on Friday, and the Final Four meets Saturday evening. The championship game tips off at Rupp Arena on Sunday at 2 p.m. The Morehead State University baseball team is currently underway with Game 2 in their midweek matchup with West Virginia. The Eagles dropped Game 1 yesterday 9-3. Head coach Mike McGuire says he wasn't too happy with his guys' performance and they need to get back out there and try again.
I mean, obviously it's a new day. It's a fresh start. You know, we have an opportunity to show them more exactly who and how we're able to play. You know, the caliber of club that we have, and you know, I feel like yesterday was not a good indication of the caliber of club we have. Today's an opportunity to show something different.
After today's game, MSU will prepare to host a three-game series with Eastern Kentucky University. Game 1 is Friday at 4 p.m. Morehead State University's women's basketball coach has no plans to leave the university. Coach Greg Todd led the Eagles to a 23-10 season this year, taking second place in the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament. The team is taking a few days off as they wait to find out who they'll face in the Women's National Invitational Tournament next week. Todd says he's aware of a rumor that he would be named head coach at Eastern Kentucky University, but that he has not been talking with the Colonels.
They have an opening, and I went to school there, but I'm not talking to them, and obviously, I know that came out on the internet, and don't really know where that transpired. I mean, it may be that I would be someone that they would talk to.
EKU announced March 2nd that head coach Chrissy Roberts would not return for the 2019-20 season. A national search for a new head coach is ongoing. The Northern Kentucky University basketball team has clinched a spot in the NCAA tournament. The second-seeded Norse pulled out a 77-66 win last night over top-seeded Wright State in the Horizon League tournament. The win puts the program back in the 68-team field for the second time in 3 years. Sophomore Drew McDonald tells Fox 19 he's excited to be going back, but he's wanting even more this year.
I feel like this team's got more. I feel like this team's special enough and we got more left in us. And the only way to do it in the top the first year is just to go win a game, go to the second weekend. But right now we're going to cherish this. We're going to enjoy it and have fun.
NKU will find out who they face during NCAA tournament reveal show on Saturday night. While the Cincinnati Reds have been testing out some of their new talent during spring training, the team's veterans have also been getting a good workout. First baseman Joey Votto has been with the Reds since starting his major league career in 2007. Now 35 years old, Votto says he's had to change his playing style quite a bit through the years. He says guys on the mound come with a lot more intensity these days.
And for me as a hitter, I had to learn how to drive the ball the other way, be able to take what was given to me. Whereas now, combating the athleticism of these guys, the high velocity, right, high spin rate, strong breaking balls, strikeouts are really very common now. So I've had to make the adjustment to combat the extreme speed of the game, whereas before it was more touchy-feely, yeah, more technical. So that's probably the largest change, especially to my hitting game.
The Reds have the day off. They head to L.A. tomorrow for a 4:05 contest with the Dodgers. A Mount Sterling boy is now representing Kentucky as a top two finalist in the Superfan Championship competition. 10-year-old Lucas Witt is competing for the title of number one fan in all the land. Lucas has been a longtime fan of Kentucky basketball and has attended nearly every Wildcats game.
I first played basketball when I was 4, and just kind of the game stuck ever since.
Lucas' competition currently is in the final round, and voting wrapped up on Sunday at midnight, where supporters liked Lucas's photo on the Superfan Championship Instagram page. A winner for the competition is expected to be announced within the coming weeks. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle softball will host Morehead State Classic this weekend, featuring games with Bowling Green and St. Bonaventure. Tickets available from MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose today, led by solid gains in tech shares, while investors digested the release of solid economic data. In the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 148.23 at 25,702.89. The S&P 500 was up 19.4 at 2810.92, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 52.37 at 7643.4. The S&P tech sector rose 0.7%, led by a 3.75% gain in chipmaker NVIDIA. The so-called FANG stocks were all strong today as Amazon, Netflix, Google parent Alphabet, and Apple all closed higher. Tech shares have been on fire this week in general, with the sector itself rising more than 3.5%. Equities also got a boost after the Commerce Department said non-defense durable goods orders posted their largest increase in 6 months for the month of January, rising 0.8%. And U.S. construction spending posted its biggest increase in 9 months, rising 1.3% in January. And this data overshadowed a weaker-than-expected print on the Producer Price Index. Boeing shares initially lifted the broader market, rising more than 1%, but later gave most of that gain back after the U.S. and Canada announced they would ban flights from the company's beleaguered 737 MAX jets. Overseas in Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stoxx 600 index up 0.8%. In Asia, stocks were weak, with the Nikkei down 1% and the Shanghai Composite down 1.1%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and United Technologies, and the worst performers were Home Depot and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Take-Two Interactive and DaVita, while the worst performers were Discovery and Viacom. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Yum Brands up 68 cents at 98.66, Fifth Third Bank up 12 cents at 27.98, Marathon Petroleum up 69 cents at 59.55, AK Steel up 3 cents at 2.85, CSX up $1.31 at 73.97, and Humana was up 8.56, finishing at 283.01. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The annual Burley Cole Art Exhibition and Competition is on display in the Golden Yank Art Gallery inside the Claypool Young Art Building at Morehead State University. The exhibit is on display through March 13th, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The exhibit is free and open to the public.
The Kentucky Arts Council presents Kentucky Crafted, The Market, March 16th and 17th at the Kentucky Horse Park Alltech Arena in Georgetown. Hours from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. Arts and crafts, music, books, specialty foods, and more. Admission is $8 per person and tickets available at the door.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Haley Sidham, Cody Robinson, Keneally Roberts, Cassidy Stearman, Tandy Wallingford, Grant Johnson, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Susan Duvall, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and for our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Leanne Akers. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Naya Andweza. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.